Good morning. So this morning I'm going to read what Jesus said to the seven churches in Revelation. So John had been on the island of Patmos and was sitting there in the Lord's day when he heard a voice behind him, and he turned around and it was Jesus. And Jesus told him to write what he was going to see. So that's where it starts in Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel in the church of Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to the idols and practice immorality. So also you have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone, that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart. And I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, To you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken to pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel in the church of Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. To the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel in the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews but are not, but lie. Behold, I will come. They will come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the church, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. And the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me, sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, you see, Jesus gave promises to those who conquer, like to be able to sit on the throne with Jesus, or be clothed in white, or never have our names blotted out of the book of life, or to eat from the hidden manna or from the tree of life. It's to the ones who conquer. So we gotta fight for it. We can also see the mercy God has by offering repentance to the ones who were sinning, and his severity to those who will not repent. We can just see it's worth going through this life and conquering the evil one for all these things that Jesus mentioned here and many others besides. And I'm sure there's a lot more you can draw from this and comment about it, so feel free to do that or make corrections.
Thank you, Brother Matthew. I guess just quick question, if it's okay. Can you think of any other passages that you would connect that with in the New Testament? The whole idea of to him that conquers, to him that overcomes. You think any? Can't think of any? Okay. I guess one that I thought of, I don't know what you all think, was, where Paul, is he? I think it's Ephesians 6. Check in here. The one where it talks about, Ephesians 6, I'll read verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities. In other words, rulers, or I forget what word that is, maybe kingdoms, I don't know. Against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I would assume that would mean spiritual realm. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, done everything to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts from the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and watching therefore unto all perseverance, supplication for all of the holy ones, or all of the saints, and for me as well. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador in bonds, or ambassador in shackles, that I therefore may speak boldly, as I should speak, or as I ought to speak. Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Thank you, Brother Matthew. Of course, no corrections, just admonishing that we will obey those things that the seven churches were told. We no corrections to the Word of God, only submission and obedience to those things. I'll just say a thing and you'll figure out what I'm saying. In every one of the seven churches, I know your faith. I know your faith. And then in Revelation 18, and the linen they put on is the faith of the saints. No, it's the works. I know your works, and the works of righteousness was the linen. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, unless my righteousness is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't. No. He said, unless your righteousness. So an integral part of faith, as we know, is obedience, the obedience of faith in works. It's not faith alone. It's a terrible heresy that's damning so many people that you can be saved just by faith without works. And let us all fear and tremble. The Lord be magnified.
Thank you, Brother Matthew. That's a good reading and a good reminder. It reveals the heart of God. the things he loves, the things he despises. In my translation, it says of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, in parentheses, it says, which I hate. It didn't word it that way in the translation you were reading it from, but that kind of led me to question, well, what was their doctrine that he so hates? So I did a little Google search. Quite a broad spectrum here. They believed that the body was evil, but the spirit was good, and that God only cared about the spirit, not the physical. Another belief was that it was all right to have one foot in both worlds, that one didn't need to be so strict about separation from the world in order to be a Christian. And then, similarly, the Nicolaitans believed that a Christian's works were more important than their beliefs or spiritual growth. In other words, it's all about the works. What you believe or your spiritual growth isn't that important. So that's a pretty broad field, but it would all tie together in that they believe the body was evil, but the spirit was good, and that God only cared about the spirit, not the physical. Yet it ends up with they believe works were more important than their beliefs or spiritual growth. So that's a pretty broad field. Yet one thing they share in common is a distraction from true obedience.
Well, yes. Thank you, Matthew. Something just crossed my mind. I read these verses, these chapters of the Revelation about 50 years ago. I don't say that I never read them after that, but that was my early study. And I'd like to ask you, Brother Will, who gave that information about Nicolaitans? Because I was not able to find any of those before.
I said Google.
Google? So I don't know, it might be the truth, because at that time I looked into Strong's Concordance. That was the only help that I was able to find, and it said the meaning of the name Nicolaitans is the glory of the people. Glory of the people, human glory, not the glory of God. So I just wanted to add this at this moment. Another thing that I would like to share with you, I was listening today, that reading. First, I was surprised. It's rather rare and very interesting reading of the scripture. But when I read the first chapters of the Revelation, I don't feel as old, but I don't feel young either. I feel very small. Thank you.
I'll be brief. I just appreciated that, Brother Matthew. Thank you. I thought, Brett, in answer to your question, there's another one that I think of often. Lisa wrote it to me when we were recording. It says, "Blessed is the man," from James 1, Verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." I've always appreciated that verse. And I was just thinking in general about these letters. I've always struggled to know how to look at Revelation. And I think that, like, these were active churches when this was written, not necessarily future churches, and they had this benefit to be examined by Jesus. Like, and in the New Testament, when Jesus was walking, you know, all these people had the benefit of seeing him and beholding him with their eyes, including his disciples. And yet there's always this pointing to by by Jesus and by others, it comes through especially in Jesus' teachings that it, like this generation that he was walking in was blessed to have the opportunity to see him in the flesh and experience him in the flesh, and yet all future generations would have to read what was written about him and then believe by faith and a hope for the promise of what he talked about without seeing it. And I guess with that comes a lot of self-examination that comes out in the epistles. And I wish, I don't know if you do, but even though Jesus spoke hard things to these churches, what a benefit to have like a temperature check by the one that you say you're living for. But we don't get that. We have to examine God's word and then examine ourselves. And hopefully our judgments won't be skewed, and hopefully we won't just wrest the scriptures to our destruction. Hopefully we can be honest and faithful. Thank you, Brother Matthew.
I was just going to mention, I guess about a decade ago, I encountered a message from David Brousseau on what the early Christians believed about what the Nicolaitans said, and then it's in the same CD, it's the Nicolaitans and the Gnostics. I don't remember vividly about what was said there. I do remember some points. I guess the one caution I was going to give to the approach that, sorry, Brother Will, that you took there is scholars, and I think a lot of people would already agree with me on this, scholars have a lot of pressure to produce, to put something out, and a lot of times they take their opinions about things and they state them as if they're facts. To me, what is logical, if you want to know what the Neocolaitans believed or get as close as possible, is you go back to the earliest sources that talk about what they believed. And you read, as David Brousseau said, the primary source itself. Not somebody talking about how they understood what they said. That's secondary sources. And that interpretation of how they understand what they said could be wrong. But to actually read what the writer said from 1900 years ago or 1800 years ago or whatever. So if you want to know what they mean. Now, one thing I do remember is some of the early Christians understood these to be followers of Nicholas, who was one of the seven original deacons that was chosen in the book of Acts. You know, Philip and Nicholas and that. And, wow. Anyway, I was going to comment on the meaning of the word, but I guess it doesn't matter. So there were seven of those. And so some of them believe that he was the actual followers of Nicholas and that Nicholas became an apostate and they were following what he taught, and it would lead into some Gnostic sort of ideas. And then some believe that, no, these were apostates from Nicholas. Nicholas was faithful. And so there was the two camps, or the two understandings in early Christian, those that spoke about this. I do remember Brousseau talking about that. The basic premise, as Will said, of the Gnostics was this emphasis on the spiritual realm and the physical realm, including works, which this is just Gnosticism. I can't remember vividly how Nicolaitans are... how they differed, but was works was not important. It was all about faith. It was all about the spiritual realm, sort of thing. That's Gnosticism in general. This world and everything made in this world, including human beings, was made by a lesser God and a different God than the good God, and therefore that's why everything is inherently evil, including that man inherently has sin in himself because of that as a result. So that's Gnosticism. So.
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I for fear. Oh, man.
Thy kingdom.